Okay, so I hope you guys are ready for this movie. The ushers will be around with Kleenexes and just kidding. This is a very heavy movie. It's based upon this novel called The Shack. And it was a New York Times bestseller by a guy named W.M. Paul Young. And if you've never read it or seen the movie, you're in for a little bit of a heavy sermon this morning. But I trust that God is going to work through the words that he has given me to speak and through the clips this morning as we try and tackle one of the biggest questions anyone has ever asked in the history of humanity, and that is, why do bad things happen? Why does evil happen? And in this clip, we saw Dad, he's out on a camping trip with his family, and they're having a good time. Then he goes to save one kid, and the little girl is abducted. And she's taken away, and it's kind of a long story, but she ends up at the shack, murdered, and they can't find her body, but they did find her dress and remnants of things in that nature. And so very heavy topic this morning, but we're going to unpack a little bit more as to this question of why does bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? And some of you have even said, why do bad things happen to good people, right? Yeah, because most of us think, you know, we haven't committed murder or anything too crazy. We're probably pretty good people. We go to church on Sundays. And that's actually kind of a weird thing. It's kind of a loaded question because we learn here in Romans, Paul talks to us, and I'm going to have a lot of scriptures today. None of them are going to be on the screen, so you will either have to pick up the old Bible, old school-wise, or you can get out your phone and flip through and maybe highlight scriptures if you'd like to do that. The first scripture is going to be coming to us from Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. And see, the thing is we're not really all that good, are we? If you think about it in context, Adam and Eve, since the time of Adam and Eve, we have become sinful. And in Romans chapter 3, 23, it says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standards." You see, so, I mean, that's not what we're going to preach about today, but that's good to remember. That's good to remember that, you know, we are not good people. We are saved by grace through Christ, which makes us good. But we are not essentially good at the heart. Sometimes we sin. And so that's just good to remember as we're leaning into this. We're going to blaze through these clips. And then on the back end, I'm going to get into a little more scripture. So just kind of hold on and sit tight and hopefully don't cry too much. I have numerous tears from this movie, and past week's been crazy. But I hope that we can hold it together this morning. Hopefully the worst of it has passed. Keep in mind, this is a fictional movie based upon a novel. This isn't the Bible. This isn't some guy telling you this is exactly what God is and who God is. But it's about this guy. His name's Mackenzie. And he loses his daughter, and he enters into what the book calls the Great Sadness, where he just, day after day, night after night, he can't break the funk of why would someone, if there is a God, why would God allow my little girl to be taken away? And he kind of goes into this weird, like, distance from his family, distance from his wife, and just distance from everybody, and he shuts down until he gets this letter in the mail. And in this letter it says, "Meet me at the shack, God." And he thinks it's some cruel joke because the shack is where they found the remnants of his daughter's clothes, and he thinks somebody's messing with him. He goes over to his neighbor's house, and he yells at him, "This isn't funny." And come to find out, nobody knows where the letter came from. And so he follows the advice of the letter and goes to the shack. He gets into the shack, and there's like a foot of snow on the ground, and the shack is empty. And then he sees the blood stains on the ground, and he just starts cursing at God and yelling, "Why would you let me go through this? Why did you bring me here? Who are you? Is there really a God?" And that leads us to our next clip, where he gets ready to leave the shack. And then he sees this gentleman walking down to it, and so he's on his guard because it could be the killer. And he's really, really uncomfortable. And he starts walking to the shack, and he enters kind of a Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe moment, where it goes from snowy to like not snowy and really beautiful. And that's what this clip is going to show us here in clip two. All right, I know what you're thinking. Why is God a woman, for one? And why isn't Jesus some good-looking man from Alabama? On that second note, if you want to get too into that, Jesus, I did a little bit of research on men from Nazareth, men and women, and it says they would have been shorter than modern people, about 5 foot tall, for women, and a little bit taller for men. They were robust, sturdy, with strong brown hands, calloused from work, and glossy black hair. So maybe not the white Jesus that we imagine, but that is just, like I said, fictional story. But here we have the representation of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And in this, Matt goes on this journey, and he spends time with all three of them, and it finally leads him up to a cave where he meets some other person who helps him understand. And I give you a little context here in this clip. Mac, when he was younger, he was abused by his father, who was an alcoholic, and he was also a deacon at the church. So he has this crazy view of who God is and what's going on with this father figure who is supposed to love me, because he was abused by his father and had a very rough upbringing. And so, like I said, we're going to blaze through these clips, and on the backside of this, we're going to really get into the meat. But in this clip, he meets someone who is called Wisdom. And in this clip, he's going to go through kind of a surprising little hiccup in the story, and that is the judgment. Let's watch this third clip. So, man, heavy stuff. He's shown all of these people, and all these people with all these different sins and the things that they struggle with or things that they become involved in. And he is trying to base his view of God upon all of the ways that he has been brought up and how he has understood God. When God is not asking us to base our judgments upon what we understand and the way that we think people should be judged, but God is asking us to trust God, the good and perfect being, to be the judge. And I think it's pretty important for us to remember in the scriptures are very clear about forgiveness and who should be forgiven and how many times people should be forgiven. And for us to even say forgiveness and to think about this movie in this context doesn't make any sense to us in our brains. But the scriptures are clear that if we cannot forgive others, God will not be able to forgive us. And I think it's extremely important. We're going to look in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 here in just a second. It's extremely important for us not to try and put our understanding of God and make it the number one definition of how we think people should be judged, how we think people should be treated. I think it's overly important for us to understand that God sees the whole picture. That God doesn't just see what happens here on this timeline, but God sees what happens in eternity. And God has eyes for eternity, and all we can see is what's right in front of us. And so I think it's imperative for us to understand the fact that we don't know everything. Romans 8:28, this verse has been used a lot. Maybe out of context sometimes, but this is what this verse says. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God is working all things for the good of those who love him. I think for Mackenzie right now in our movie, it's pretty hard for him to say this. And actually, he goes into a little bit in the movie about, you know, how can you be good? How are you a good God? How are you a good God if you allow these types of things can happen? How can any good come from this story? How can any good come from something that may have happened to you in the past or something that you're dealing with right now? How can any good possibly come from this? We have the promise in God's word. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things. In this final scene, Mackenzie is trying to make sense of everything that happened. And he's having a conversation with God while he's making some bread. And he gets very upset and very frustrated. And I think I think we all would be there at this point. Very upset, very frustrated, not understanding what happened, why God would allow somebody to do this. And in this last clip, we're going to see why. Said, somehow you let my little girl die. Where were you when I needed you? When all you see is your pain, you lose sight of God. When all you see is your pain, you lose sight of God. And then lastly, she said something that love always leaves a mark. Love always leaves a mark. I think the toughest thing for us as humans to try and understand is that, especially as Christians, is that Jesus never said, come follow me and you'll never have any hurt. He never said that. Matter of fact, he kind of said the opposite. He was talking to the disciples in John chapter 16. And he said, I have told you all of these things so that you may have peace. And this is one of the most important parts for us in the scripture. It says, here on earth you will have struggles. John 16, verse 33. Write that down. John 16, verse 33. Here on earth you will have struggles, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the grave. I have overcome your understanding of death. Fear not. I have overcome. Jesus gave everything. God sent his Son down to earth as the incarnation so that we might overcome the grave as well. I apologize. 2018 has been a pretty rough year for my family. early this year, we lost my grandpa, and then we lost my wife's grandmother about a month later. About a month ago, we lost my sister-in-law's brother to a motorcycle wreck out by my house. I drive by it every single day. And last week, we lost a cousin that was pretty close to the family. And you just don't understand sometimes, like, until you are faced with until you are faced with the things that happen because we live in a fallen world, it's easy to forget. It's easy to take for granted some of the things that we sometimes just preach about and don't even have any feelings about, maybe, or we just live about, maybe we read about, maybe we don't even talk about some of these things. Because it's easy to live and get busy and to get distracted and to forget about evil and to forget about our understanding of what it means to live into Christ. It's easy for us to forget. Really quickly, if you want to flip over to Daniel in the Old Testament, I want to give you a verse that has become kind of a testimony in our family. Has become kind of just my, hopefully, my heart cry. I'm not quite there yet. But in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, is one of the most important scriptures in my life. And one of the most important scriptures, I think, that can be in all of our lives. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you remember the story, these guys were forced to praise different gods and were forced to do different things, and they said they wouldn't do it. They were condemned to die in a furnace that was like, and they turned it up. It was hotter than it had ever been. And before they went into this furnace in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, they said this: "If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to deliver us." They start with that line. "And he will deliver us." There's the faith. "From your majesty's hand." They're saying, the God that we serve is going to deliver us from this. And then one of the most important verses for me right here in 18. They say, God's gonna take care of us. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the images of gold that you have set up. Even if he doesn't. I'm going to try and tell you a story without breaking down. My brother, his daughter had a rare blood disease a few years ago. I guess she still has it, but she was 18 months old when she was diagnosed and put in the hospital and only given a 10% chance to live. And I remember, why did I tell this story? That was stupid. I remember sitting in the hospital watching her on the ventilator, and It was really hard. Our family hadn't really experienced any loss up to this point, per se. And I remember my brother, he's a pastor too, down in Cabot, Arkansas. And he was running around the hospital praying for people, trying to keep people encouraged. And my brother, I don't know if he knew it, but he said, I was talking to him about Gracie, and that's her name, and how we didn't know if she was going to make it out. And he said, "I'm praying for a miracle. I believe she's going to be healed. There's a 90% chance she won't," is what the doctor said, "but I believe she's going to be healed." And then my brother said, "But even if he decides to heal her by bringing her home to heaven, I'm still going to praise him." And I don't know if you guys have experienced any type of hurt or loss. You will. It's inevitable. So try and take these words to heart as you move on through the life and through your walk with Christ. But I think we all need to get to a point where we can trust God enough to say, "I know you're going to heal me. whether it's here or in heaven, you're gonna bring my healing to fruition. And you've got this. And I think the idea in this movie for me is so impactful because he goes through this journey of trying to figure out if he's going to trust God or not. And I think we all do that in our lives, even if you won't admit it. We all go through this journey of trying to figure out if we're really gonna say, God, I really trust you, even to the point of a furnace. I trust you. And I think that's what Christianity is all about. The book and the movie have two different endings. They both are terrible because the girl doesn't come back. But in the movie, the girl does get to see her father while he is spending time at the shack. The girl doesn't see him, but he gets to see the girl. And she's in heaven playing and laughing with Jesus. And I just think it's important for us to keep context. Jesus said, in this life, it's going to hurt. But don't get scared, because I've overcome it. I overcame it. And you will too. So I'm going to share one scripture with you, and I'm going to have Pastor Brian come and pray and close. And I am sorry, I'm super emotional. It's been a tough week, but hopefully we made it through okay. This verse is a verse that I found when I was just searching through stuff to try and comfort my family this weekend and try and figure out, you know, what's going on and why, what happened, why it happened. And it's Romans chapter 8. You might want to write this down. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 23. And I'll just read it really quick. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait the eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he has promised us. I'm going to ask Pastor Brian to come now, and I want to ask you just to bow your heads and reflect on what God has been speaking to you today. And I pray that this week will be an impactful week as you learn how to trust God when bad things happen.